propaganda attack against patriots in this country in an attempt to connect patriots and militias with Timothy McVeigh and the Oklahoma City bombing, all lies. Even the Federal Bureau of Investigation made a public announcement in 1995 saying that there was absolutely no connection whatsoever between Timothy McVeigh, the militias, or American patriots. Yet, the scum-sucking, puke-faced, lying dog communist news networks continue to try to make that connection. I didn't see it, but last night I heard from various friends that I was the subject of one of these blatant, lying, libelous, totally false attacks by Fox News out of Channel 10 in Phoenix. I've continually warned people not to talk to any press because they're liars. They will lie to you. They will promise you anything. They will tell you that they're doing a favorable story and that they need to get your input so that they can tell the truth. But that's never what they're after. Never has been, never will be. One of the bottomless pits in this valley that has been a constant pain in my ass is Glenn Jacobs, who I understand was a major part of this hatchet job. Another one was someone who I've warned many, many times not to talk to these people. Well, he believed the Arizona Repulsive, and he talked to Mark Schaefer. And Mark Schaefer took everything he said out of context, made him look like a total fool, and used his words to make me look like some kind of subversive idiot. And he apologized sincerely. Bill, I'm so sorry. I'm just absolutely grief-stricken with my stupidity. But then they sent some TV cameras up here in the last couple of weeks, and he did it again. Well, Nolan Udall is no longer a friend of mine. I can't have stupid people around me. I can't do that. He fell for it again. They promised him that he would have total approval of the script of the news broadcast. Can you imagine that he actually fell for that crap? Can you imagine that? How many others of you out there allowed yourself to be sucked in by the glamour that you were going to be on television? Well, I got to tell you something. They made me look like some kind of subversive idiot, and the rest of you look like the biggest jerks that ever walked on this planet, and I guess you're never going to learn. You see, these people in the press don't care about morals or ethics or the truth. They'll lie to you. They'll rape their own mother on top of a limousine in Times Square at high noon if it'll get them the story they want to put on television or print in the paper. Some of you learned a hard lesson over these last few weeks. And the whole purpose of it, you seem to be just absolutely so ignorant that it's pathetic. I can't believe that people can be so ignorant and so stupid. Was to make an attempt to tie me to Timothy McVeigh. In order to demonize me, like they always demonize their targets, so that when they finally come after me, you will all sit back and say, well, he's one of those Oklahoma City bombers. And if you say that, you'll be a liar and you'll burn in hell. But you know, I'm saying whistling in the wind because most of you don't give a damn anyway. I am absolutely amazed at the stupidity of the American people. That they believe that they're getting the truth on television or in the newspapers. This country is in the hands of our enemies. And over many years, they've taken over major corporations. They've taken over the ownership of the press. They've taken over our government. They are Marxist socialists, and their goal is world communism. And you better start to understand that. Now, I don't give a damn. I don't give a rat's ass if you like me or not, but you better damn well listen to my message. You certainly better do that. Tonight's broadcast is going to open your eyes. It's going to make you understand why I am such a target of these people, that they must destroy me. That they absolutely must destroy me to shut me up. Don't go away. I'll be right back. And you're going to hear the nitty-gritty, dirty details. And you're going to see why they take such great pains to lie so viciously about me and many other American patriots. One of the prime causes of our problems is the Middle East. And a lot of the religions that subscribe to the Christian identity, British Israelism philosophy, that there is a chosen race. And most of them are Christians, believe it or not. Most of them are Christians. You see, there's lots of people who call themselves Christians, never read anything that Jesus ever said, never listened to anything he ever said. They subscribe to the Old Testament, don't believe that Jesus was God reincarnated upon this earth, and therefore every utterance out of his mouth was a new dispensation, a new covenant. They've ignored it, thrown it away. Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. But these people believe only they can have everlasting life. Only they are the chosen people. Only they can rule. And everyone else on this earth is subject to their whim, their destructive urge, their elimination if they want. Because they're God's chosen people. And I'm here to tell you bullshit. Read the words of Jesus. If you're a Christian, you know that's a lie. If you're any other religion, you're going to believe whatever your religion teaches. But I'm telling you right now, racism in any form is the greatest plague ever inflict the human race in the history of the world. And you heard what I said, human race. I only believe in one race. And it's not a chosen race. It's God's children. God created man in his own image. Now, you can argue with me if you want to. You can argue with yourself if you want to. You can stand in the middle of Highway 40, you know, for 26 days and spout your religious bullshit, dogmatic nonsense, claiming that you're some kind of a chosen race and you've been selected to rule everybody else on this world. And I'm still going to tell you bullshit. You're a liar. It's not true. And so, if that upsets you, you might as well turn off your radio now, because it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. The Oklahoma City bombing, the plot thickens. If you think you read it on the website, you haven't read it like this. I've been working on this for several days to update it, upgrade it, make sure that it's all correct. And this is going to set the record straight, and you better be listening, and you better care, because if you don't, all I get to say is to hell with you and to hell with this country, because that's where it's going. It's where everybody's going. Right down the tubes, right straight to hell. Literally and figuratively, I don't care which one you want to latch on to, that's where it's going. Oklahoma City bombing, the plot thickens, copyright, William Cooper, all rights reserved. I am not a racist, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who have been listening to this broadcast all these years and read my book, you know that. I'm not a white supremacist. I'm not a Zionist. I'm not a member of any British Israel organization, Christian Identity, or anti-Semitic group. Nor do I subscribe to the opposite side, the Semitic groups who believe that they are God's chosen people and everyone else is inferior to them, or the black power groups that believe that civilization formed first in black Africa and therefore they have the legitimate claim for the throne of the world. No, I don't subscribe to any of it from any one of you for any reason, period. I refute all racist and or superior race philosophies. I always have. I have done it all my life. I believe that such beliefs are a plague upon the human race, and that's the only race that I recognize or have ever recognized. I am a loyal American interested in the truth. I believe in liberty and freedom for all people, regardless of race, religion, or place of ancestral origin. And I must make that statement because of what follows, because of the history of the demonization of anyone who implicates anybody who belongs to certain minorities as terrible, racist, anti-Semites. You have to hear this. And you have to understand that what I'm going to tell you is the truth. Whether you like to hear it or not, it's the truth, and that's the only thing I'm interested in. But first, you have to know that the federal takedown of the organization known as the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord occurred on April 19, 1985. The assault on the Weaver family occurred over the same date and would have ended on April 19th, except that two reporters stumbled upon the Fed's attempt to hoist a fuel bladder by helicopter, which they had intended to drop on the Weaver cabin and ignite, burning alive all inside. If those two reporters hadn't stumbled into that clearing by accident, the Weaver family would have been burned alive on April 19th, 1985. The final assault upon the Branch Davidians occurred on April 19, 1993. The bombing of the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building also occurred on April 19th. If you believe that all these events happening on the exact same date to be coincidence, then you need a brain surgeon. You need a brain surgeon. Because something between your ears is not operating correctly. And you need to find out the meaning of April 19th. It has two meanings. One, in the history of this country, it is Patriots' Day. It is the date that patriots in this country took up armed resistance against the might of the British Crown and began the War of Independence, and it's known as Patriots' Day. There's another meaning, and I'll leave that for you for your homework. You know I like to give homework. That's your homework. You find out what transpires on or around April the 19th every year. Another very curious fact is that David Koresh, and Timothy McVeigh were both 33 years old at the time of their deaths. A very curious fact indeed. Our investigation of the Oklahoma City bombing, the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, has uncovered the following. John Doe number one is and always was Timothy McVeigh. There are also at least two other people involved with the Oklahoma City bombing who are almost exact doubles of Timothy McVeigh, one of which is a known agent of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. John Doe number two is Michael Brescia, an army buddy of Timothy McVeigh who served in the same unit. Until recently, he was in federal custody. The federal government has protected and hidden the identity of Michael Brescia because he is an informant for at least one agency of the United States government. He's not a Nazi. He's not a white supremacist. He's not an anti-Semite or a racist. And when we ask the FBI to provide us with a photo of Michael Brescia for positive identification, they refused. So we went to our friends in law enforcement who are patriots, and we obtained photos from them, and we positively identified Michael Brescia as John Doe number two from those photos. How do I know that Michael Brescia and Timothy McVeigh are John Doe number one and John Doe number two? Because they came to visit me, not to visit me, but to visit Tim Lesperance in St. John's. They didn't even know I was there. Because when I was broadcasting from St. John's, I never told anyone that we were in St. John's, and every address that we ever gave out on the radio was in Sholo. It was Box 1420 in Sholo, if you'll remember correctly. And everybody in the world thought that we were in Sholo, when in reality we were in St. John's broadcasting, and in reality we always lived here in Eager. So nobody knew where I was or where I was broadcasting from, except the people here in Arizona who were close to me or who knew me personally or who knew of me from people who knew me personally. So they took a detour from Highway 40 and stopped at Tim Lesperance's Surplus and Stuff. He brought them next door to introduce them to me. He said, "You ever heard of Bill Cooper?" "Yeah, well, he's right next door. Come on, I'll introduce him to you." And so he did. Michael Brescia, John Doe number two, is the man in the original sketch of John Doe number two, and it's such a good sketch, it could have been a photograph. He was the leader. He did all of the talking. Every single word he said, Timothy McVeigh just nodded once in a while, didn't really pay too much attention to what was being said, and every once in a while, if he was asked a question by Michael Brescia or by me or somebody else, he would chip in. But he was not the leader. It was clear that Michael Brescia was in charge, 100% completely in charge. Now, just in case you think I'm telling you a big lie, I'm not. They were there about 10 minutes, no longer. There were seven other people there in the research center beside myself who gathered around and talked to these two men. One was Granny Gosling. She was in her 80s then. I don't know if she's still alive because I haven't heard from her in quite some time. I hope she's still alive and I hope her health is good. Those of you listening in St. John, you know exactly who I'm talking about. I always called her on the air and I talked about her often as Granny from St. John's. Tim Lesperance, whose wife owns Katie's Country Kitchen and who owns Surplus and Stuff in St. John's or wherever the hell he's doing his business now. He's probably not doing too good a business, but because we found out that he was an informant for the BATF and had tapped our phones. The phone tap actually went through his business, which means he was a part of it. Peter Lesperance, who was Tim Lesperance's son, and still is, I would imagine. Bart Chow, who was one of the editors for Veritas. Michael Aponte, who was another editor for Veritas. And two people who were passing through and had stopped in to visit the research center, one of whom brought a whole bunch of tables and filing cabinets to donate. Now, I can't remember either one of their names, but I can locate the name of the one who delivered the tables and filing cabinets. I have not done that yet, but if I need to, I can. The other one, if he's got any guts, will make himself known, because I can't remember who he is. But there were seven people, including myself, in the research center that day who met these two men and talked to them for about 10 minutes before they left. So there is a John Doe number two. His name is Michael Brescia. He is the one in the sketches. And the FBI, the United States government, the prosecutors of Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols are liars when they say there were no other people involved in the bombing. Michael Brescia was in charge. He talked about explosives, but he didn't tell anybody what he was going to do. He said that they were going to do something to get the attention of the nation in order to get the nation back on track and ask us if we would help him. I said, what are you going to do? He said, we can't tell you. I said, if you can't tell us, then we can't help you, because we will not be a party to something that will discredit our whole attempt to restore a constitutional Republican government. So take a hike. And I told him something else. I told him, whoever fires the first shot loses. Those are the exact words I've used on this broadcast since the beginning of my broadcast. And I told him something else. I don't know what you guys are fixing to do, but if you hurt anybody and I know where you're at, I'll come after you personally. Timothy McVeigh asked me what he should do if he was stopped by a police officer and I asked him, would there be a warrant for your arrest? He said, no. I said, then you should take your ticket and go on your way. He said, do you think I ought to shoot him? I said, no. Why would you shoot somebody over a ticket if there's no warrant issued for you? And whether or not I would shoot anybody over a warrant would depend upon what the warrant was over. He thanked me for that advice. Invited us all outside. They were driving a big green station wagon with puke yellow interior with a big television in the back seat, put down the back gate and gave us all a copy of the Turner Diaries. Across the street, I noticed Robert Millar dressed up like a Miami tourist. He's the head of Elohim City. He has been a government informant for most of his life. He was taking pictures. He was driving or riding in a brown pickup truck with a white camper shell on it. About a half a block behind him was a BATF white car with BATF agents in it taking pictures of everything that was going on. I told all of this to Special Agent Steve Fillerup of the FBI, who was stationed in Pine Top right after the Oklahoma City bombing. So if they are telling the world that there is no proof that there's a John Doe number two or anyone else connected with the bombing, they are lying, because the last thing that Michael Brescia told me and everyone else who was standing there on that curb was, watch Oklahoma City. So I accuse Steve Fillerup of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the entire Federal Bureau of Investigation, all of the prosecutors of Timothy McVeigh, everyone who's been concerned with this case, you are liars. And you know you are liars, and we are not the only ones who gave you this information. It was given to you by honest patriots and militia members all over this country who had contact with Timothy McVeigh, Michael Brescia, and many others. John Doe number 3 has been positively identified as Andreas Strassmeier, a German Jewish intelligence operative. He is not a Nazi. He's not a white supremacist. He's not an anti-Semite. He's not a racist. Sources in Germany say that he is Jewish and that he was sent to the United States to discover the source of Nazi, neo-Nazi, and anti-Semitic material that was being sent to Germany and stop the flow of that material, much of which was emanating from Elohim City. This information has been confirmed by at least 2 additional independent German sources. The FBI knows this. John Doe number 4 has been positively identified as Gary Hunt. He has never been questioned by any law enforcement agency. Gary Hunt was also involved with the Waco massacre in 1993. Gary Hunt is an informant for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Gary Hunt masquerades as an American patriot. The ethnic and religious background of Gary Hunt is not known to us. John Doe number 5 has been positively identified as Daniel Spiegelman, also known as William Taylor, a fundraiser for the Oklahoma City bombing operation. He was arrested and imprisoned in the Netherlands when he attempted to sell historic documents that had been stolen from Columbia University in the United States for the purpose of financing the Oklahoma City bombing. For which he could receive the death sentence. United States District Judge Lewis Kaplan, a Zionist, sentenced Spiegelman to only 60 months in jail, 3 years probation, 300 days of community service in an adult literacy education program, and restitution to Columbia in an amount not yet determined. Daniel Spiegelman's conviction will be set aside because his defense lawyer, and this had to be a setup, his defense lawyer, Paul Kurtz, was discovered to be a fake lawyer. In other words, he wasn't a lawyer at all. Paul Kurtz, 56, of Bethesda, Maryland, was charged in a 41-count indictment issued by a Manhattan federal jury for claiming to be a licensed attorney and defending clients, including Daniel Spiegelman, who was convicted of stealing rare manuscripts from Columbia University. Spiegelman was sentenced in April of 1998. Daniel Spiegelman is a Jew. John Doe number 6 remains unidentified at this time. We do have a video of him in the company of Gary Hunt, John Doe number 4, walking away from the Alfred P. Murrow Federal Building within 10 minutes after the bombs detonated. Both men in the videotape are carrying transmitters in their hands. The same kind of transmitters used by demolition experts to detonate bombs. Mike Vanderbog of the John Doe Times is an agent of the Anti-Defamation League masquerading as a patriot commander of the Alabama 1st Cavalry Militia. The militia which he claims to command does not, in fact, exist. It is a fraud. His purpose is to place the blame for the Oklahoma City bombing on patriots and the lawful militia attributing a motive of white supremacist anti-Semitism and racism, a charge that cannot be true in light of the ethnic identity of several of the John Does involved in the bombing. The Branch Davidians, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. This is crucial to your understanding of what's going on. The Branch Davidians were a racial mix of mostly black, Hispanic, and a couple of Jewish members. Only a very small minority of the church was Caucasian or white. Racist, white supremacist, anti-Semites do not rejoice at the death nor seek revenge of these kinds of people. Racist, white supremacist, anti-Semites do not avenge the death of blacks, Hispanics, Orientals, and Jews. And if you think they do, you've got a major screw loose. The people who worked in the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, listen to me very carefully, the people who worked in the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building were mostly Caucasian white Americans and could not ever have been the target of racist, white supremacist, anti-Semites. Racist, white supremacist, anti-Semites do not murder whites. They simply do not do it. You stupid sheeple. You see how easily you're confused and misled? Check for yourself if you don't believe me. Check for yourself. Don't you dare take my word for it. The KKK, Ku Klux Klan, and white supremacist groups expressed great dissatisfaction with the manner in which the BATF and FBI were handling the situation with the Branch Davidians and called for an assault by the government to end the standoff. A contingent of KKK white supremacists actually traveled to Waco, Texas to offer their services to the BATF and FBI in order to effect the arrests or destruction of the Branch Davidians. If the Ku Klux Klan, if white Aryan supremacists were for the takedown of the Branch Davidians, how and why would they ever seek revenge for their deaths? You stupid sheeple. Prominent members of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith made public statements which were carried by the major news networks, recorded by us and placed in safekeeping, which disclosed that the ADL had the perpetrators under surveillance for at least 2 years. The spokesman stated that they knew the bombing was going to happen well in advance. Prominent members of the ADL were instrumental also in fomenting the attack upon the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas in 1975 and made many public statements to that effect. John Doe number 7 is the leader of Elohim City, Reverend Robert G. Mylar, an ADL, FBI, and BATF informant who was instrumental in bringing down the covenant sword and arm of the Lord on April 19, 1985. It is because of Mylar's status as an informant, Elohim City has developed the reputation as a safe haven for racist criminals in this country. Carol Howe was a BATF informant and disclosed the plans of the bombing and those involved to the BATF. After the bombing, Carol Howe disclosed this information to the public and the press. The BATF attempted to imprison Carol Howe to silence her, but lost their case. She won because she proved in court she was operating as one of their major informants. She maintains that the BATF knew the culprits and the target, a government building, well before the bombing occurred because she was present at Elohim City during planning sessions and she personally informed them. Governor Keating, Keating's brother, Representative Ernest Istook of Oklahoma, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the United States Marshal Service, Oklahoma City Fire Department, Oklahoma City Police Department, and the Oklahoma City Bomb Squad knew the bombing would occur well in advance of April 19, 1995, and they knew it would happen on that date, and at 6 a.m. that morning, they had the bomb squad, the bomb truck, at that building. And they did nothing to stop the bombs, and yes, I mean bombs, plural, from going off. The American intelligence community knew of the plans to detonate a bomb in the heartland of America as early as 1971 and wrote of it in a top-secret document called Majesty 12, which contains the plan for the disarmament of the American people and implementation of a world socialist totalitarian government. I can name all of the officers who served on the command of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet who had access to and who read and saw that document and who knew about it. The Oklahoma City bombing was a joint operation involving intelligence operatives of the United States, Germany, and Israel. The purpose of the bombing was to strike terror into the heartland of America, destroying the illusion of safety and security in America. Those responsible set the propaganda wheels in motion to blame patriots, militia, and religious fundamentalists in order to prepare American citizens to more readily accept personal disarmament in preparation for world socialist totalitarian government, beginning with the passage of an unconstitutional anti-terrorist bill which passed Congress and became law soon after the bombing. During his tenure as director of the FBI, listen to me very, very carefully. You better listen to me. And you can check it. In fact, I hope that you will. During his tenure as director of the FBI, William Steele Sessions created the National Security Threat List, which was approved by the Attorney General in 1991. It changed its approach from defending against hostile intelligence agencies to protecting U.S. information and technologies. It thus identified all countries, not just hostile intelligence services, that pose a continuing and serious intelligence threat to the United States. It also defined expanded threat issues, including the proliferation of chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, the loss of critical technologies, and the improper collection of trade secrets and proprietary information. During a press conference in 1993, during the Waco standoff, FBI Director William S. Sessions warned the nation in a press conference of a Jewish underground which threatened the national security of the United States of America. I personally witnessed that press conference on CNN on the date that it was given. He was immediately politically attacked by AIPAC interests and its political stooges. He appeared on television 2 weeks later to announce his resignation as director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation with his arm broken in a sling. Ari Shavit, an Israeli columnist, wrote in an essay reprinted in the May 27, 1996 issue of the New York Times from the Israeli paper Haaretz, while reflecting sorrowfully on the wanton Israeli killing of more than 100 Lebanese civilians in April, that we killed them out of a certain naive hubris, believing with absolute certitude that now, with the White House, the Senate, and much of the American media in our hands, the lives of others do not count as much as our own. End quote. Joseph Sobran, in a June 13, 1996 edition of The Wanderer, said, quote, in a single phrase, in our hands, Chavez has lighted up the American political landscape like a flash of lightning, end quote. The admission confirms what has been labeled, quote, an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, end quote. Sobran admits in his article that this theory is believed by most Israelis. Sobran wrote, quote, charges of anti-Semitism and a quiet but very effective boycott will be the reward of any journalist who calls attention to his own government's and his own profession's servitude to Israeli interests. Chavez states that as an obvious fact what Americans can say publicly only at great risk, it is surprising and refreshing to find such candor in an American newspaper. The prescribed take on this subject is that Israel is a reliable ally of the United States, despite Israel's long record of double-dealing against this country, ranging from the killing of American sailors to constant espionage and technology theft. The word ally implies that the relationship exists because it's in the interests of this country, though Israel's lobby is clearly devoted to the interests of Israel. And it's childish to suggest otherwise. You expect that from the Israeli lobby, lobbies are lobbies after all, but it's unnerving that the White House, the Senate, and much of the American media should be in our hands, as Chavez puts it. Bill Clinton, a lover of peace since his college days, raised no protest when the Israelis drove 400,000 innocent Lebanese out of their homes in retaliation for rockets launched into Israel, wounding one Israeli by a faction over whom those 400,000 had absolutely no control. Congress, of course, was supine as usual in this latest extravagance of Israeli defense. Congress, too, is in our hands. A recent article in the Washington Post likened the Israeli lobby's power to that of the gun and tobacco lobbies, but there is one enormous difference. Newspapers like the Post aren't afraid to criticize the gun and tobacco lobbies. They will say forthrightly that those lobbies seek goals that are dangerous for this country. They don't dare say as much for the Israeli lobby. But much of the press and electronic media are in our hands. In a more active sense, they supply misleading pro-Israel propaganda in the guise of news and commentary, constantly praising Israeli democracy and ignoring Israel's mistreatment of its non-Jewish minorities, mistreatment which, if any government inflicted it on a Jewish minority, would earn it the fierce opprobrium of our media. Very few in America are doing anything to change this sorry state of affairs. Chavez wrote his article in the desperate hope of turning back his countrymen and his government from a morally and politically perilous course. At least he can hope. It's harder for us when our government isn't in our hands, end quote. So said Joseph Sobran in his nationally syndicated column. Joseph Sobran is a Jew. The importance of this information is that the bombing of the Oklahoma City Mira Federal Building could not ever have been the racist actions of white supremacists exacting revenge for the massacre of the mostly minority membership of the Branch Davidians at Waco, Texas. Nor would they have blown up a federal building full of white Caucasians in revenge. International Zionism is, however, racist, claiming its adherents to be a superior race chosen by God to rule over all other races and nations in a world totalitarian socialist government from a capital in Jerusalem. Most Jews, now listen to me very carefully, most Jews, especially American Jews, do not adhere to that belief. Most American Jews are loyal American patriots. Most modern-day Zionists are adherents of the British Israel philosophy, Christian identity, and Christians, including Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Robert Schuller, and other misguided leaders of the Christian religion. For confirmation, see Project Trojan Horse on our website. On our website. It's called Project Trojan Horse. On the internet, go to our website and then just add to the end trojan.htm. And understand when you read it that people like Zionist, admitted Zionist, member of the Jewish Defense League, Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz, are not our friends, nor friends of this American Republic. Now, I want to say this again. Me, Harvest Trust, the Independence Foundation Trust, the Independence Trust, and the Intelligence Service are not and never have been racist, white supremacist, Zionist, or anti-Semitic. We refute all racist and or superior race philosophies as they are a plague upon the human race. I'm a loyal American. I'm only interested in the truth. Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said that. And I believe it. My wife is 100% Chinese. My children are part Chinese, English, Scots, Irish, and Native American, because I am also part Native American. I couldn't be a white supremacist racist if I wanted to in my wildest dreams, nor would I ever, ever consider such a thing. And what you have heard tonight on this broadcast is the truth. Timothy McVeigh was denied due process. The Constitution was violated in every instance. Supposedly, he set off a bomb in the street in front of a building. The street is owned by the city of Oklahoma City, which is a part of the state of Oklahoma. Which means Oklahoma had jurisdiction all the time. The federal government never had any jurisdiction. And even if it had, the Constitution says that anyone accused of a crime must be tried in the state wherein the crime occurred. They moved his trial to Colorado. That's unconstitutional. They had no jurisdiction. They withheld thousands and thousands of pages of evidence and documents from him so that he could not have a defense. The judge refused to allow Timothy McVeigh to even mention the United States government or any participation that the United States government may have had in the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, and thus decided his defense for him, which is also unconstitutional and is a denial of due process. This is not my country. My country is defined in the document called the Constitution for the United States of America. Whatever is existing in Washington, D.C. today is foreign to me. I know it not. I accept it not. I will not bow down to it. I will not support it. I am pro-government. I am not anti-government. I have never been anti-government in my life. But my government is defined in the Constitution for the United States of America, and that's the only government that I will submit to, and only when it has jurisdiction over me lawfully according to that document. Now, I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that you all get out of your mental vacuum state, that you learn how to think once again. That you stop being parrot puppets who imitate and regurgitate what you see and hear in the movies and on television. That if something happens, that you will go out and seek the truth instead of waiting for somebody to tell you what you're supposed to think about what it was that happened, so that you can be a mindless little apparatus in the new socialist regime. Apparatchik. The new left is exactly the same as the old left. And the goals are the same. And the teachers are the same. And the methods are the same. They're liars, they're scum, they're destroyers, they're thieves. And their goal is to destroy and dismantle everything in this world until they control this world. If you don't understand it, you better start understanding it. They make no secret about it. No secret whatsoever. Revolution, by any form, by any means, the end justifies the means. Anything that we have to do, lie, cheat, steal, murder, rape, destroy, is okay, as long as it results in our world totalitarian socialist government. That's the whole goal, you see. Marx said the definition of peace is the elimination of all opposition to socialism. Hitler was a socialist. He went into power in Germany by doing to the Reichstag what the socialists in this country did to the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. And the results are the same. He demonized his enemies. He rose to power. And he took control. And that's exactly what's happening in this country. All unconstitutional, all unlawful, demonizing people who had absolutely nothing to do with any of it. And most of you sit there and watch it, and listen to it, and parrot it over and over and over again because your masters have told you what to say, and being vacuum brains, you don't know how to think or say anything else. Aren't you amazed? By golly, I am. There was a time when I believed in the American people so much. Not anymore. And there is no hope outside of armed insurrection to restore constitutional Republican government. Not revolution. Not rebellion. Not to destroy. Not to create something new. But to restore constitutional Republican government and set into place new safeguards so that it cannot ever be taken from us again. And that's going to happen, and it's not far off. And it doesn't matter whether I live another 5 minutes or another 5 years. It's going to happen. I have nothing to do with making it happen. It's going to happen because that's the nature of the American people. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you. And I will never desert you. And I will do everything in my power, even unto death, to make sure that you little children have a safe, secure, and free world to live in under constitutional Republican government. What you heard tonight, folks, is all on the website, williamcooper.com. If you want to read it, download a copy, go get it. It's there for you right now. Darn it, stop making me tell you. It's June. Get your donations in now if you want this broadcast to continue. Otherwise, you got about a week left. You've been listening to The Hour of the Time with William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America, according to William Jefferson Clinton. Why? Because I choose truth. And that's the most deadly weapon to use against these scum. And for those of you who are small in brain, small in intellect, and weren't listening carefully to what I said, what I talked about tonight were nations and organizations with agendas, not people. Most Jews in this country are good, honest people like everybody else and don't know a damn thing about what I talked about tonight any more than you do. Remember that.